WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of the performances our film critic David Edelstein considered to be among the best of 2006 was in a movie that didn't play in many theaters, but it comes out on DVD tomorrow. The movie is Sherry Baby, and my guest is the film's star, Maggie Gyllenhaal. She also starred in Secretary, Happy Endings, World Trade Center, and Stranger Than Fiction. In the film Donnie Darko, she and her brother Jake Gyllenhaal played siblings. In Sherry Baby, Gyllenhaal plays an emotionally troubled young woman named Sherry, who's moving into a halfway house after 3 years in prison for robbery. She'd stolen money to support her heroin habit. When Sherry gets out, she wants to reconnect with her young daughter, who has been living with Sherry's brother and sister-in-law ever since Sherry was imprisoned. They don't think that Sherry is ready yet to be a responsible parent. Everyone has doubts about whether she can hold things together. Here she is with her parole officer, played by Giancarlo Esposito.
Could I ask you about something now, or... This curfew thing? I would like to spend the night at my family's house, at my brother's house. And I haven't seen them for a long time.
I thought you had no problem, Swanson.
Yeah.
Any unreported police contact will result in the immediate violation of your parole, and I will violate you. You will be returned to prison to serve the remainder of your sentence, plus any new charges you may incur. Monday at 9 a.m., you report to Mr. Monroe at 1138 Clifford Street.
Please give me a pass.
Are you trying to f*** with me, Swanson? Or are you here to successfully complete your parole?
To successfully complete my parole, sir. I have to see my daughter. I haven't seen her in a long time.
I asked Maggie Gyllenhaal what she did to prepare for the role of Sherry.
Laurie Collier, who directed the movie, insisted that I go to a bunch of halfway houses. And I spent about 3 weeks going to different halfway houses in New York and Brooklyn and New Jersey. And actually, there's a women's prison on 21st, either 20th or 21st Street in the West Side Highway. I live right by there. I never would have known that. A medium security women's prison. And Laurie and I went there and showed her documentary and, you know, talked for a few hours with some of the women who are incarcerated there. And I got to know this one woman in particular who had gotten her release from prison about 2-3 weeks before I met her. And went with her to meet her parole officer, you know, waited for 2 hours on the street, went with her to her job training program, spent a lot of time with her also. But mostly I feel like just going to these halfway houses, meeting a bunch of different women who are in very similar situations, and not researching so much as just sitting there all day on a couch with them, you know, smoking, and just being there all the time was really, I would say, was preparation enough.
Were you already a smoker, or did you smoke because you were with them?
I was an ex-smoker and thrilled to be able to start smoking again, to be honest. Actually, that was it was a very intense. Sherry smokes a lot of cigarettes, and I got really hungry for cigarettes and started smoking a lot. And but in the beginning, when we would shoot some scenes and I'd be smoking and smoking and smoking, there were times I felt like I was going to pass out. And then I just started to really like it. And then, you know, I don't smoke anymore, and I haven't smoked for years. But, you know, as often would happen with me, I would, you know, start smoking again for a little stint and then feel horrible and stop.
When your character, Sherry, gets out of prison and is living in a halfway house but wants to reclaim the parenthood of her child who's living with her brother and sister-in-law, the only asset she thinks she has in this world really is her body. And she'll use it to help get a job. She'll use it to she'll use it in any way she can to get what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm interested in hearing what it was like to learn to use your body in the way that this character does to get things.
Hmm. Well, I agree with you on one level that I do agree that she feels that her body is an asset and is a major tool, but I don't think she thinks that's the only tool she has. I think that she actually believes, and I believe also, that she's incredibly smart and spiritual. And when she uses her body, I think that what is actually involved is this kind of reworking of the situation she's in to justify what she's doing. So, for example, there's a scene where a job counselor asks her to have sex with him in order to get the job she wants. Actually, no, in retrospect, he doesn't do that. She offers herself up.
She takes her blouse off and to kind of give him the message.
Yeah, he doesn't ask her to do anything. But I think there's a way to play that scene where she is a victim, which obviously with any kind of objectivity she is. But I felt like the way that I could understand it was to really sit there for a second as Sherry and think, okay, how is this ethical? How is this making me a better mother, a better professional woman, a better person in the eyes of God? How is this really, really okay? And I think it takes a great, great mind to be able to turn something as hard and horrible as what she does with that job counselor into something that she believes that God and her daughter would understand.
Was it hard for you to use your body in the way that she uses her body, to be that unselfconscious about it and that flaunting of it?
Well, again, while I was shooting it, it wasn't. I remember shooting one of the sex scenes in the very beginning of the movie where she sleeps with the guy who's the head of her halfway house. And we were shooting it in New Jersey. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. We were shooting in a real basement of a house that hadn't been cleaned in like 15 years. And there was this dirty table that we were supposed to be naked having sex with each other on. And I remember saying, you know, kind of jokingly, but really tough, you know, like, would any of you get naked on this table? Can we at least put like a blanket down or something? You know, like that was kind of where my anxiety went. I mean, I think rightly so. I don't think anyone would have gotten naked on this table, but I got so tough about it. I got so kind of, I'm completely fine with getting naked, but just not on this table, you know, where really I think in what was really hard for me actually was watching the scenes, and not so much because of being shy about my body or something, which was probably there also, to be totally honest. But also I think I just felt very exposed in those scenes emotionally. You know, I mean, I think sex scenes can be a real opportunity for some real intense acting, because if you think about sex in your life, whether it's good sex or bad sex, there's a lot of communicating going on and a lot of exposing of yourself. And I think I felt really especially exposed in those scenes, not just physically. And I was scared to see them.
Maybe that's in part because these aren't like, you know, loving companionship kind of relationships. I mean, in right. some of the scenes, I mean, she's using somebody to get what she wants. Even if she likes them, she's still using them, and they're using her.
Well, that's actually what Peter said to me, my fiancé. I came home from work one day. Most of the time I was shooting this movie, I was alone. I think he was working somewhere out of town. He was home for a week or something, and I'd shot one of those scenes. And I came home, and even though, like I said, on set, I was super tough, and I wasn't pretending to be, I really felt fine. Because I think I was Sherry all day, and I think Sherry thinks she feels fine, you know? And I came home, and I remember telling him, I don't think I want to do sex scenes anymore. They really don't make me feel good. And he said, I think it might have something to do with the kind of sex scenes you've been doing. You know, I think that's true.
Yeah, well, the characters that you've played, I mean, there was secretary, which is a very unusual relationship, though it's in its own way a very nurturing sadomasochistic relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And those sex scenes felt like lovely. You know, those ones felt, I mean, and not all of them.
Because they were so well suited to each other.
Yeah, and they loved each other. And it was the way that they expressed and felt love. And so it felt good.
But in this movie, in Cherry Baby, and also your character in Happy Endings, a movie I really love, these characters' sexuality come both from their strength, but also from their insecurity and from their neediness.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. But again, when I shot Happy Endings, it was the same thing. It was that same idea. Could I find myself sleeping with two men who happened to be father and son and lying to them? How could I do that and justify it? How can it be good? How can it be ethical, you know? And so I kind of believed when I was shooting that movie that she was almost like an angel. And I kind of believed that she was really helping them. And she does really help them, you know? I mean, I had to find the good in it.
Have you ever been in the position where, to play a role, you found the good in it, and you've justified, you've rationalized the character's actions? You see them as an angel instead of this really troubled, manipulative person. And then, a couple of years later, you sit down and you watch the movie, and you think, wait a minute, this character really isn't an angel. They're really troubled and manipulative.
Well, yes. I mean, that happens often when I watch the movie even the first time, you know? It actually took me a little while with Sherry. I believed so much in her, even as a mother, you know. I believed that her intentions are really, really good. And I shot so many of the scenes with, you know, me and my daughter in the movie, believing so intensely that I was mothering her in a way that was going to be helpful to her, that when I went to Sundance with the movie and we did some Q&As afterward, and people would say, she's just despicable and horrible and awful to this girl, I couldn't really understand that. I mean, that's not totally true. I mean, obviously I understand that she's really troubled, and the movie ultimately is about her even beginning to become a mother at all. But I'd played the scene so fiercely from the angle of I believe in myself that it was hard for me to even hear that people found her so, so hard to watch as a mother.
My guest is Maggie Gyllenhaal. Her film Cherry Baby comes out on DVD tomorrow. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Maggie Gyllenhaal. Her films include Secretary, Happy Endings, World Trade Center, Stranger Than Fiction, and Cherry Baby, which comes out on DVD tomorrow. Well, what are the challenges of making an independent film like Cherry Baby with a screenwriter-director who has no track record, particularly playing a role like you are, where you're in this vulnerable position because you are, you know, exposing yourself emotionally and physically in ways?
I guess I learned movie making on a teeny movie, you know, on teeny movies. And so I feel actually more comfortable with that kind of schedule and that kind of situation, you know, where it's all fast, where there's not a lot of time, where there's not a lot of sitting around, where you're constantly working all day. To me, then the day flies by and I have a lot of energy all day. And that's just sort of how I learned. So when I've worked on bigger movies and I've had a lot of time off, it's been a little harder for me, actually. But in terms of, you know, working with Laurie, with a first-time director, you know, it was 2.5 years ago almost that we made this movie. And I think I didn't ask her some questions that I wish I'd really asked her before we'd started, that now I certainly would have. What movies she liked, what actors she liked.
You would have asked her this before working with her?
Yeah. I mean, just so that at least I could say, okay, this is her sensibility. This is how she's going into this. I'm usually not, I mean, basically I say this because we had a lot of disagreements when we were shooting, a lot. And we actually really fought, which is unusual for me. And I also think very unusual for her. And I love her, and I'm very proud of the movie, and I'm really I think she did a fantastic job, and she's a really good friend. But when we shot, we really fought, I think we had some fundamental differences about who Sherry was, or different ideas about who she was, you know, which, you know, after the first week of shooting, she came to me and said, I don't know what you're doing, and I'm really worried about it. And I was like, I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach. Like a week of shooting on a 5-week movie is a lot of work and a lot of really hard work. And it was really hard. And I think what it was that she had originally expected was that she kept saying to me, she said, I wish Sherry would be more street, she said. And I guess I felt really, really strongly that, of course, there are ways where she puts on kind of being street and she's been in prison, whatever that means. I'm not really clear what that means, which is to use her word. And, you know, she's been in prison for 3 years and she certainly had some hard times. You know, the last time that she was not high or in prison, she was 16. And I think she came out of prison feeling this fierce hopefulness, like, I'm just going to be the best mama you could possibly imagine and the most professional woman. And a professional woman and a fantastic mama doesn't mean you can't be sexy and hot and, you know, and I'm smart and I know what's up and I'm clean and I'm sorry for what I did and I'm ready. And, you know, it's such a naive way of going into things, but I felt so strongly that that's how it had to be. And it was very different than what she imagined. And so it was hard at first. But she, after a while, I think we both sort of realized that the way that she was directing me was by fighting with me. And she became, you know, like the world I was up against in some way.
So you think resisting her gave you a genuine way of resisting everybody else in the movie? Because you're basically fighting the whole world in the movie.
Right, which is probably why on some level I was fighting her at all. Because ideally, if you have a disagreement with a director about, you know, something as fundamental as what I described, you can have a conversation about it, you know. You can talk to each other. I really wasn't very open to that. And I think that's because of who I was playing all day. Because also, let me say, you know, I'm not someone who believes, you know, the more tempestuous, the better. Like, let's have a really horrible time and that will somehow lead to great work. I don't think that. I would much rather have a collaborative, trusting, good relationship with the people I'm working with.
There's a scene that I really like in the movie that makes me very uncomfortable because what you're doing is so wrong. there's a big family dinner and it's at your brother and sister-in-law's house and they've been taking care of your daughter. So like they're at the table and your father, who used to have an incestuous relationship with you, is at the dinner too with his wife. And so you're all sitting around the table and you decide you want to sing to everybody. See, you stand up and you sing a song by the Bangles, Eternal Flame, and you kind of are staring at your daughter as you sing it as if the song is dedicated to her. But it's a very sexual song. And so it's kind of inappropriate for your 6-year-old daughter, and it's kind of inappropriate with your father being there at the table. And he's kind of squirming as you sing it. Mm-hmm. And all that said, I really like your singing. And you also sang in a previous film, Happy Endings. Maybe you could talk just a little bit about that scene.
It's funny. I never even thought of it as a sexual song. That's what I mean. Like, I just thought, this is a great song, and I'm going to sing it to my daughter. And, you know, and it's true. It is. It's a very sexual song. And in a way, I think if Sherry had been aware of that, or even if I had been aware of that, I just wasn't thinking that way. I don't think Sherry would have sung it to her. I think it would have horrified her, you know, but I think she's just thinking, I want her to know how much I love her. And actually, probably more accurately, I just want her to love me.
Now you sing in Sherry Baby, you also sing in Happy Endings. Like I said, I like your voice a lot. And I'm wondering if you sang before making these movies, if you were ever in a band or if you ever wanted to be.
Man, I would love to be in a band, but I actually think that It would be an amazing thing to do. But no, I was never in a band. I was in the choir in high school. And, you know, I sang madrigals and things like that. It's very different. But you know, I grew up singing, I guess. You know, my dad played guitar and, you know, we would all sing together. And at least my brother and my dad and I, my mom, who also does sing really well, she doesn't think she does, so she doesn't sing very much. But I grew up, you know, with music around and really liking singing and enjoying it. And I feel like there's something kind of a little embarrassing or annoying or something about an actress who sings.
Why?
I don't know. Like, it feels like, you know, theater camp or something, you know. But I loved singing in Happy Endings, especially.
Well, you were in a band in it, so it was perfectly appropriate for you to be singing.
Yeah, and Don, you know, Don Roos and I, when we met to talk about doing that movie, which I really desperately wanted to do when I met him, but I sort of acted like I wasn't sure, and I said, you know, the one thing that's really, and this is actually true, this was kind of the way I wanted to do that movie, and probably the only way I wanted to do it, was if all the singing could be live. You know, I didn't want to record it beforehand and then lip sync it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have the stakes of having to sing in front of however many people are in the room, you know, help me through the scene. And so that's what we did.
My guest is Maggie Gyllenhaal. Her film Sherry Baby comes out on DVD tomorrow. Here she is singing from the soundtrack of the film Happy Endings.
I get so excited just to see your face. For the first time, I have found my place. And everything about this feels so strange. Used to be so easy to get myself. Don't know what I'm gonna do. Everything about this feels so strange. And I'm just hoping that you feel the same. But I can't wait for you to change. No, I can't wait.
That's Maggie Gyllenhaal from the soundtrack of Happy Endings. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Maggie Gyllenhaal. Her films include Secretary, Happy Endings, World Trade Center, Stranger Than Fiction, and Sherry Baby, which comes out on DVD tomorrow. You know, we were talking a few minutes ago about how you've used your sexuality in the movie Sherry Baby and also in the film Happy Endings. You recently gave birth to a daughter, and I was just, you know, I couldn't help but wonder, like, when you were pregnant, you must have felt so much more kind of protective of your body and so much more private about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it must have been such a big difference, you know, going from that private feeling of pregnancy from that kind of, you know, public display that you have to do in certain roles.
I did feel much more protective of my body when I was pregnant because I in a way it wasn't just mine, you know. It was I was sharing it with somebody. And, you know, I still feel fiercely protective of her privacy. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Especially because you know, it's really surprisingly, I really didn't expect this at all. You know, when I was in labor and then when she was born, there were 30 paparazzi outside our apartment in New York. And I can't even say how hard that was for us. I mean, I understand that we, our family, is very lucky in so many ways, but that was really surprisingly, it was surprising that it happened at all. And then it was surprising how invaded I felt and how scary it was.
Yeah, I can imagine. You had played somebody pregnant in World Trade Center, the September 11th yeah. movie that Oliver Stone yeah. made, and this was, you would play the wife of one of the men who's trapped under the World Trade mm-hmm. Center, and so you had, I'm sure, like a prosthetic belly mm-hmm. for that, mm-hmm. and you hadn't yet been pregnant when you played that role. Were you surprised about what it was like to actually be pregnant versus how you played it? Was it different from what you imagined?
I'm really glad that somebody said to me, look, you're 5.5 months pregnant in this movie. You can pretty much, you can do everything. You know, you're not going to be waddling around or struggling to get out of a chair. You're going to be fine at 5.5 months. And so I almost ignored the physical aspect of the pregnancy because already there was this funny prosthetic thing, not in my life, but in the movie. There was this funny bump on me, and I just kind of tried to do everything as I normally would. And then actually being pregnant, yeah, it was completely different than I could have ever imagined, ever. And same with giving birth and with being a mother. I mean, it's completely, completely blown my mind.
Well, Maggie Gyllenhaal, really good to talk with you again. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks.
Maggie Gyllenhaal's film Sherry Baby comes out on DVD tomorrow.